So I now have with me the winner of the 2012 Three Peaks race, York's Three Peaks. It's Mr. Joe Simmons, and a big smile on his face. Obviously a great win today, and following on for his great win at Coaldale a couple of weeks ago. Joe, great race for you today. Just tell us a little bit about it.
Obviously, dead chuffed with the win today. I've had the Three Peaks in my mind for since the beginning of the season. Well, since the winter started, really, and knowing that I'd be really keen to have a good run here. But you can never tell until the last few moments of preparation whether you're going to actually be feeling good on the day. And fortunately, like I did 2 weeks ago, I was feeling good this morning. So I was full of confidence, but I knew it's a tough race. I've done it a couple of times before. I've only actually managed to finish it once. And it's a race that can really take its toll on you. So essentially, I knew that I was going to have to be sensible from the start. And fortunately, most other people had the same thoughts. There was a strong northwesterly wind, I think it was, which made the going slow and made people reluctant to take it on running up Penigent, the first hill of the Three Peaks. So the pace was nice and steady going up Penigent, which suited me because I knew that energy conservation for at least the first two-thirds of the race was the priority. You've got to really get to the 15, 18 mile mark feeling like there's still something left to give, because if you blow, then you can just slow down horrifically and lose 10, 20 minutes very, very quickly.
Yeah.
So the pace was nice going up Penigent. Big group of us taking turns to sort of shelter behind various runners. There were a good bunch of fell runners, and most people were pulling their turn and you're providing some shelter. Unfortunately, I'm not the biggest chap, so probably not many people benefited from me. Yeah. But Ricky was a great help. He's a tall guy.
Yeah.
And then once the race turned off the big path up Penigent, it goes on to a slightly smaller and then steeper path. And then Rob Jebb, who's obviously won this four times before, I think, sort of hit the front. And I knew he's a guy to watch out for. He's on good form this season, and he's always, tends to do well in this race. He knows it very well, and he's strong. So I thought it was a good idea to keep an eye on him. So I kind of ran up Penigent essentially with Rob, but everybody else was with us. Ricky was still going strong. And Tom, Ricky, my Salomon teammate, and Tom, my other Salomon teammate as well, we're both going really well. I felt really good going up Penigent, to be honest. So I was in, good spirits still.
Yeah, yeah.
And probably pushed it on a little bit towards the top of Penigent, because it's hard not to when you've got all those crowds. I love these races because there's quite a lot of isolation in between the crowds, where it's just you and the people you're racing at, sometimes if you're on your own, and then you get to the hot spots, the top of the hills, the crossings, at Ribblehead and
Ribblehead,
and Hill Inn, and suddenly there's just this cacophony of sound, and it really does spur you on. It's a nice feeling. So got to the top of Penigent, still feeling good, but Tom and Ricky, both very strong descenders, came past me on the way off Penigent. Just maybe it took about 10 seconds off me on the descent. I had no idea what was going on behind me. I don't like to look behind. And they changed the course a little bit this year, so we avoided the runners going up Penigent, which I think was a really good decision. I think we probably came off Penigent a little quicker than we would have done before, and obviously avoided any accidents and or obscenities, as you train it. Avoid people who are doing their best and obviously aren't the priority isn't to look out for the elite runners coming down. So then there was this great moment for a few miles as we were running the long traverse through what was quite damp, boggy farmland between Penigent and Wernside, which is a sort of 7 mile gap really, the longest non-hilly bit of the race, where there was the three of us, the three Salomon team runners, three of them. Ricky, unfortunately, Ricky Gates was struggling with an injury. But we were there together, and it was nice. We were able to chat and encourage each other, and we thought, I was hoping at that point then that the three of us would be able to press on and take the first three. But obviously it's very early in a long race, and any little niggles or problems over the last few days tend to get eked out as the miles go on. So I was conscious that energy would maintaining energy would be important. So I took quite a few energy gels, which is my sort of preferred fuel in this kind of race. Took one on quite early after 45 minutes because you don't really want to, you want to eat before you feel like you need to eat and this sort of thing. And Ricky did the same at the same time. And all the way through that run, I felt more confident on my feet, actually, as we went between Penigent and Wernside. I felt more sure-footed as we went along, because obviously I was wondering if I was not descending as well as the other guys off Penigent. And got to there's a road section for about a mile before you get to Ribblehead Viaduct, which is a great site, this bigger viaduct on the Carlisle to settle the... what do they call that rail line? The
Great Western, is it?
No, I've forgotten. Anyway.
Yeah.
The Settle Carlisle. That's
the Settle Carlisle. There you go. There's a picture of that.
Yeah, so... And what I did notice, actually, I took a little glimpse behind and noticed that a couple of guys were actually probably pulling us back. Carl Bell, the local guy who lives in Brough, Howgill Harrier, who's had a phenomenal season so far this year.
Great run today.
He had a great run in the end, And Andrew Davis as well, Welsh chapman for Mercia. I know I knew he was going to be a guy to watch out for. He tends to come strong as the race goes on, as we saw in the Commonwealth Ultra Distance race in Anglesey, where he just kind of clawed back and took third place, didn't he?
Yeah, he took silver in the end.
Silver? Yeah, absolutely. Brilliant run there.
Yeah.
So then we all sort of pressed on. I guess there was probably a group of five of us, although we were spaced out over maybe a couple of hundred yards, but I think there was a bit of a gap to the next people after us. As we got to Ribblehead, again, great atmosphere at Ribblehead, took on a bit of isotonic drink there, and then Carl Bell was really coming strong at that point, so he took the lead again, and I decided to sit with him because he seemed to be going well, and Ricky was just shortly behind us. I think by now Tom had started to drop off a bit, unfortunately, but Andy was still there, and another chap, Rob Baker, seemed to be pulling through quite nicely, and then we made the ascent at Wernside, which is the steepest section of the course and also the kind of roughest climb of the course, because there's not really any path and there's some tussocks and things like that, but it's not, by fell running standards, it's nothing extreme. And I like that climb because I tend to thrive when the going gets steep and even very steep. I quite like it because I tend to keep on running, which can pull out a bit of a gap.
Yeah.
So pressed on up Wernside, and I just kind of tried to keep in the back of my mind that I have to not overdo it. You know, feel comfortable, and I did. I made sure I felt comfortable the whole way at Wernside, but as it happened, I started to pull away from the others. And then there's a steep section just before the final climb up Wernside, again, a great crowd on the top. And then I thought, well, I've committed now, because I probably had a 30 second lead maybe on the top of Wernside, and just thought, well, I'll just go for it now, and keep pressing on and not worry about anybody else, just concentrate on how I feel, how my legs are going. So pressed on off Wernside, going over passing the guys who were doing the Felsman, this ultra race, I forget how far it was, about 62 miles, there you go. Yeah. So puts us in perspective. Yeah. So they were all coming off Wernside at the same time, dropped down the steep descent down, and then hit a bit of road on to Hill Inn, which is the gap between the second and third hills. Felt great on the road again, and I must have descended well, because I think by Hill Inn I had a minute and a half on the next place runner, which was probably Carl or Ricky. And then I was encouraged, you know. I think I probably said out loud to a few people, I feel good.
Said that to me, definitely. Yeah.
And partly I was just kind of, you know, build my own confidence up, because it's nice to hear yourself say that, you know.
Yeah, it is.
So I did feel really good on the lower slopes of Ingleborough. Kept on. I had my Suunto Ambit watch on as well, so I was able to see that my pace was good, and thought no one's going to be catching me if I'm running at this speed up a hill. So that was encouraging as well. It's the first time I've raced with the watch, actually. And then the going gets steeper as you climb up Ingleborough. Some kind people, Mark Roberts, gave me a bit of a drink as well, and lots of support up there. Again, my wife's parents were up there on Ingleborough.
Right.
They're really addicted to supporting, I think.
Just as they were Caldale. In Caldale.
Yeah, they were there in Caldale. They're back again. I think my father-in-law said he wants to be a part of this project. me getting fit again.
And the Joe Simmons fan club.
Yeah, so they were wonderful. They're just so enthusiastic. They just jump up and down and scream.
It's great.
It's generally entertaining. So, and I think they said to me that actually I was, out of the lead runners, I was the only guy that actually ran the top of Ingleborough.
Right, so you
You ran the whole of Ingleborough?
Yeah, I ran all the way up Ingleborough. I think I stopped for a few strides to get a gel out of my pack at one point. But yeah, that was really it. And I think at the top, you could see I was going quite well. And I think I had a 3-minute lead at the top of Ingleborough. And then I thought, a lot of people were saying, your lead's unassailable, which is obviously encouraging. Mm. But I knew it's a long run in, and anything could happen. You know, it's a good 6 miles. And it's a tough 6 miles, you know, especially in the with the ground being quite wet. I found the underfoot, it did become tricky in places. You know, you're going through these sort of cutting through bits of limestone pavement where you don't have much room for manoeuvre. And when it's wet as well, sometimes you've got to watch out that you don't end up in bog.
Yeah.
But sure. I felt fine for the first bit of the descent and kept pressing on. But I do think in the last couple of miles I was really hanging out. And there's a strong headwind at that point. You know, benefited from the tailwind up Wernside and up Ingleborough, but it started to, you know, take its revenge on the way off Ingleborough. So I was really having to fight out, and fortunately I was able to hold on. Across the line, I think I was spent, you know, I'd used every bit of energy. But I think I've probably learned a lesson that I need to take on a bit more energy if I want to run any further, or if I want to be able to keep up the pace even for the last couple of miles in a race of that length. But, you know, you learn all the time, and that's what's great about these races. Yeah.
Where would you say, at which point would you say you had it in your mind, like, I've won this, and, you know, whereabouts on the course, and kind of how did it feel?
I think even on the lower slopes of Wernside, I thought, I'm feeling good here, I can win this. Right. I didn't think I had won it, obviously. No, no. You never know what's going to happen.
No, no.
And I always had in my mind, you know, even though I couldn't see Tom, he can fly off Wernside and Ingleborough. You know, he's a wonderful descender. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't have surprised me in the least if he came belting past me off either of those descents. Because he's a demon going downhill. So I don't think, at no point, I think when I got to the top of Ingleborough and people were saying, you've got an unassailable lead, I was pretty confident I'd be able to hold on. And when I hit the road at the bottom of Wernside, knowing that I'd done a good descent, no one had pulled me back, and I was still feeling good, still feeling confident. I think that was the point where I think, you know, the odds are I will be able to win this, but you've never got to let your concentration slip in something like this, because you know, you will slip, and it could be game over very quickly.
So I'm
delighted to have won it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a wonderful description of the kind of, you know, the ins and outs of the race. And I suppose it's also quite poignant and quite exciting, I suppose, for the Simmons family, in the fact that your dad, who's out in New Zealand at the moment, as you've mentioned, was a three-time winner of the Three Peaks in the 1980s.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, he's going to be pretty pleased, isn't he, when he finds out about this and obviously sees that trophy back in the Simmons household, as it were?
Yeah, I think the trophy, you know, the trophy's been, it's got everyone's name on it from since the 8th race, I think, so in the 50s, I believe. And so my dad's name's on it on 3 times from, I think it's 84, 85 and 87. And each time he won it, he broke the record. Albeit each time it was actually, I think, slower because they changed the course and made it longer each time.
Yeah.
But it was a record for that course each time he did it. So I think it's a race that means a lot to our family. I was brought up in Sedbergh, which is just, you know, 17 miles down the road. I spent a lot of time in my childhood in the Yorkshire Dales running in these fells. So it's a special place for us. And yeah, my dad, I'm sure he'll be over the moon.
Yeah, have you ever spoken to him yet, or have you kind of...
Well, by the time I got mobile phone reception, it was 5 p.m. here, which means it's 5 a.m. in New Zealand, so didn't think it was fair, but I got an email at 1 in the afternoon, so 1 o'clock in the morning New Zealand time, saying they'd been following the race via Sport Ident. It was giving updates, and somehow I was actually first to the top of each of the three hills. I must have just somehow dibbed before Ricky did on top of Penny Ghent, so...
Yeah. Yeah.
So it must have been. I hope they were probably wondering if I'd gone too hard too soon. I think it's nice that they're taking such an interest from the other side of the world. But I think that just demonstrates how important this race is to my family and to local people in general. You know, a lot of people know about this race. Everyone knows about these famous hills. And so it's a great event. Yeah. I'll keep doing it, I think.
You say you'll keep doing it. So obviously, Dad won it 3 times in a row. Two times in a row, and then the first, third time within sort of 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Would the plan be to come back again next year then?
Yeah, I think so. I'd like to. You know, it's hard. You know, you never know what sort of form you're going to be on, but it's something that's going to definitely be in my calendar if I'm on the right form. Because it's a great race, and obviously, maybe rose-tinted specs after you win it. But yeah. I even enjoy it. I was ninth in 2008 when Jethro Lennox won the World Long Distance Mountain Running Champs, and Tom Owens, my teammate, was second as well. Yeah. And I enjoyed it then as well. So I think there's something about the course. There's something about the mystique of these mountains and the wonderful support you get from all the folk who are out here. Even if they get in your way a little bit when you're trying to run fast up a hill.
Absolutely, yeah, exactly. Well, as you say, you were the second father and son, as it were, to win it after the Walkers. Let's hope we see you back here for a few more doubles and trebles over the years. But I think that people are going to find today that, you know, that there's been a worthy champion here at Three Peaks. So many congratulations and well done to you, Joe.
Thanks, Matt.